Now, I promise you I am not going to be preaching on a movie, but I want to ask you, how many of you here have ever seen the movie City Slickers? Remember when it came out years ago? And do you remember what Curly's secret in life was? What was the secret to life? Just remember this? One thing. And the guy says, well, that's great. What's the one thing? And he says, that's for everybody to figure out. Well, I found the one thing. I've realized after many, many years, the Lord put something on my heart, what this is. Besides, you know, you don't say this. It's always pointed up, right? It's never pointed down. The one thing, the most important thing, the secret to living a happy, happy life. Who here would like to live the happy, happy life? Almost all of you. That's good. Some of you just would rather stay right where you are, that's fine, but to live a happy life. Let me also preface this before I give the scripture to you, because it's a simple scripture, and you're going to think, But it's amazing to me how scripture can mean different things to you as you progress in the Lord. It doesn't it? You can read part of the Bible one time in your life, and you can come back to it another time later down the road as you are maturing, and you go, wow, I see so much more in it now than I did back then. And the scripture that I wanted to give to you, unfortunately for me, it's one of my favorite scriptures. It's found in the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. It's verses 33 and 34. The secret to life. You ready? The secret to joy. The secret to happiness, the secret to peace, the secret to understanding, the secret to patience, the secret to success, the secret to all things in your life boils down to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for it, the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How many of us, we worry, don't we? We have a tendency to worry, or we don't want to worry, so we are concerned. We just use a different word, but it's still worry, concern. It has caused anxiousness. But I got to looking at this, and I thought to myself, it hasn't have to do with worry. It doesn't have to do with concern. It has to do with where is your focus. See, the thing I've learned is that if I want to have happiness, I don't focus on happiness. That sounds really stupid, doesn't it? Some people say yes, some people say no. If I want to have success, I can't focus on just success. I have to focus on what is greater than success. And the success or the happiness or the patience or the peace or the contentment, those are all the byproducts of the greater thing that you focus on. There are over 63 times in the Bible where it talks about the kingdom of God. Because notice in that scripture, it says, it tells you to do two things. Seek first his kingdom. Where do you search for his kingdom? Is it under here? Lord, where's your kingdom? It's not in there. Oh, nope, there's nothing up there. Where's your kingdom, Lord? Christ said, your kingdom is in you. It's in here. But you see, in the Old Testament, and the days when Jesus came, the kingdom of God was, where was it found? It was only found in one people. It was only for the Jews. But Christ says, the kingdom of God is in you. See, Christ came that we might have the life that I talked about, that life being more abundant. See, you actually, even though that you had blood pumping through you and you're breathing and you're upright and you're thinking and you're functioning, you were dead until Jesus Christ came into your heart. You were remade a new creature once he came in. That is the biggest, in the same movie, do-over that you could ever have in your entire life. That was the best reset. Remember as a kid growing up, when you maybe had some trials and tribulations, you would think to yourself, I wish I could just change schools, just move somewhere else, and completely start over. Some of you are going, But it's true. Even sometimes as we as adults, we think, oh, I would just like a whole new fresh start. And we find that when we go to that place, we do happen to move to a new town. Being a pastor's kid was pretty cool because every couple of years, I did get to start over. But doggone it, those things just kept following me. It's kind of like my dog, you know, every now and then he'll look at his shadow and he'll get upset with that shadow because it has followed him around all day long. You know, it's just there, it won't go away. Some of you have puppies and you know what I'm talking about. It's like the tail. And they start chasing that tail and they're round and round and round. But we do that as adults. We focus on those things. When the simple instruction is this, seek after God. Your mom's favorite verse, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, seek after him, pursue him. And what does he do? He directs where you're to go. He'll direct your path. He'll put this foot here. He'll put that foot here. He'll keep you from stepping in it here, to keep you to step over it here. He'll just direct you. But we as humans, what do? We look to ourselves and say, I'm going to seek my kingdom first and then his kingdom. We totally go against what Scripture has to say. Even most of us that have been following after the Lord for many times, we have times in our life where we put our needs above what God wants us to do, our concerns. Now, the hardest thing for us to do as human beings is to really differentiate between what our need is or what our desire is. Sometimes the heart wants things, but it doesn't need them. A man could be married to his wife, see another beautiful living creature that God has created walking down the street and say, whew, God, you did a good job on that one. His heart says, man, she's pretty, but he doesn't need her. Does that make sense? We don't always need the things that we desire. God has promised that he will meet our needs. He will care for our needs. That's his promise. But he doesn't promise he'll always give us our desires. Parents, talking to you right now. When your children were very little, what did you give them for breakfast? Pancakes, bacon, eggs, cereal? You didn't give them saltwater taffy? Instead of times. Did you give them Kool-Aid instead of milk? Did they want that stuff? Did they want popcorn for breakfast and pizza? You know, the things that now they eat. They desired it. That's what sounded good. Can I have some cake, Mom? No, it's 7:30 in the morning. But I want it. It's got flour, eggs, I know, milk, oil. Just because we desire something doesn't mean that's what's going to be good for us. When Christ came again, he brought back to life. He was the reason. He was that sacrifice that brought back to life that kingdom that lived inside of each and every one of us, showing that the kingdom of God is not something physical, it's something spiritual. And what is spiritual cannot be built by something physical. Ooh, thank you, Lord. That was an original thought. You cannot work on your spirituality operating in the physical norm. The only way to grow the kingdom of God inside of you is to get into the Spirit of God. Make sense? Please say yes. Thank you. An amen, anything would be good other than silence. It's like the Spirit of God. Because once you start to deal and experience the kingdom of God coming in alive inside of you, you don't want to leave it. And that's what God knows. That's why Christ said he was going to take the kingdom of God from them and offer it to the Gentiles. He didn't do it physically. The Gentiles don't own Jerusalem. They don't own Israel. He took that special seed that God gave for the Jews and he made it available to us. That man Adam that came to earth first and had the kingdom of God and walked in the kingdom of God every day and divided us from the kingdom of God by being disobedient unto him. Christ reestablished by getting up on that cross. That's why we seek after him first in all that we do. See, because God does not want us to live a life that is led by our passions of this. He doesn't. That's why if anything is in your life that is controlling you, you need to cut it out. You need to get rid of it. Because God doesn't want outside forces that are attacking your physical being be the things that control you. When your thoughts are thinking of that all the time, it's not a good thing. I'm going to get in trouble for this. I want to compliment my wife. She came to a realization a few weeks ago that she was thinking about her day was hopeful in that time where she could finally sit down and have her glass of wine. And she got to thinking, that's not right. That shouldn't be what my day is consisted of. That I'm looking forward to the evening. Why? So I can have a glass of wine? Or two glasses of wine? Or a highball? No, I'm just taking out other drinks. Or a martini? She didn't want that to control her. See, our thoughts can't go towards things, but towards the Spirit of God. That's what he wants. When you do that, you operate within the boundaries that he wants you to operate within. He will bless you in all different ways. Well, I wish I could just find a husband, or I wish I could find a wife. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But there's ChristianMingle.com. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But there's eHarmony. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All things will be added unto you. But I want a husband. I want a mate. I want children. I want to do all these things. Then seek the kingdom of God. Because why would God send anybody a bad mate that's seeking after him? Oh, I'm seeking after God, therefore I'm going to get a husband or wife that's horrible for me. It's not what the Father does. What child here would have their parent give them a horrible gift? Lord, I want your gifts. Seek after me. Seek after the kingdom. But Lord, I want to be able to lay hands on people and be able to be a blessing and to have the gift of healing. Seek after the kingdom of God. When God wants you to have that gift, he will give that gift to you. Seek after the kingdom of God. Everything begins right there. Everything. We're seeking after the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to be a mouthpiece for you. Great. Seek after my kingdom. How can you be a mouthpiece for God if you don't know who God is? Seek after his kingdom. After you get his kingdom down, you're in touch with it. Guess what you start to understand? The second part, his righteousness. We are born with a heart that wants the things that we want. True? I want it. Look at a little kid sometimes when they don't get what they want. I was with my granddaughter the other day. Not this one. The two-year-old. You know what they all say about twos. And when they're trying to get her to sit at the dinner table as we're going out to dinner, and she sees the toys on the other end of the restaurant, and mommy and daddy are trying to get her to sit down. And we laugh. We do. We laugh. But that's what God sees in us. I want what I want. The heart. We might not act out like that, but that's what God hears. Yeah. You all have seen it. Here's the biggest thing. You all have done it. True? But once we start to see the kingdom of God by seeking after it, by participating in it, by growing into the kingdom of God and having the kingdom of God grow in you, you start to understand what his righteousness is about. Because what is his righteousness? His will. His will. That's why Christ said, I always do the what? The will of my Father. You find out what God wants. That's why... Why do you think God chose Jesus? A, he knew who the kingdom of God was. B, he knew God's righteousness, and he would carry out God's righteousness all the way to the very end. All the way. God had no choice to send anybody else but Jesus. Any of the other angels might have failed him. Remember, Satan started out as what? An angel. But pride got in his way. That's why Scripture says pride goes before the fall. So seek after it. But Lord, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Great. Seek after the kingdom of God. Lord, I want a cure from my bipolarism. Great. Seek after the kingdom of God. And you might say, now, Brother Marty, that's starting to get into medical stuff. Really, you don't think our God can heal? Our God gave all knowledge, right? Does not all wisdom and knowledge come from God? If you agree, say amen. Then what makes you think that all the miracles that have been created today are not from God? All the drugs, radiation, chemotherapy, ability for a surgeon's hand to go in and perform the surgery. Every one of those things is a miracle by God because God gave us the intelligence and the knowledge and the wisdom on how to use it. They're all miracles. We just pass them off today as science. Do we not? Nature. But when you seek after God, joy, happiness, peacefulness, contentment, you can endure all things when you seek after God. You are not wanting and anxious about anything. Why? You're only seeking after one thing in your entire life. God. His kingdom. All the other minutiae of life. And let's face it, isn't that what it really is? Isn't it just minutiae? That's a nice way of saying stuff happens. Isn't it? All the other stuff is just getting through this life. Some of us get through it a little bit more comfortably than others. But you know, I remember when I was playing ball, there'd be guys that had, that just seemed like success came easy to them. Anybody here know people like that? It's like, you know, they take a bath and it's liquid gold. They come out just shining no matter what they fall in. They could fall in horse manure and they come out smelling like perfume. There's just people like that. There are. And when I played ball, you know, some of the most successful guys really never even had the desire to play pro ball. That used to just bother the snot out of me. Because that's all I could think about since I was 4 years old. I just want to go play ball. I just want to be the best I can be and play ball. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, I got drafted in this. But I was also drafted in basketball and I was drafted in football. They kind of had their choice. And I'm like, ha, must be nice. And they didn't really even focus that hard on what they did. But they always seemed to be successful.